Hey, this is Mike Evans. Listen to every episode of Schlereth and Evans on demand at 1043thefan.com. Presented by Siltahara Motors, the home of the zero down with Chapter 7 and 13 bankruptcies. Regardless of your financial standing, no one should be without a vehicle. Visit the special financing section at sthmotors.com.
All right, good morning. Happy Thursday, everybody. You awesome 6 a.m. listeners. Look who's back. I didn't scare him away. Chad Brown is back for another day filling in for Stink.
My alarm went off 2 days in a row, man.
Yeah.
Here I am.
I was wondering. I figured yesterday, first day, you'd have some adrenaline.
Like first day of school.
Right. And then the second day, the grind.
Oh, man.
The grind sets in.
5:07 alarm going off.
5:07?
Yeah.
You set it for five. Who sets their alarm for 5:07? Don't you set it for like a nice round number?
It's more important about what time I get here than what time my alarm goes off. So, I'm sure, as a morning show guy.
Yeah, talking to 6 a.m. listeners who have been, you know, they're up early. They're eager. They're meeting the day.
Okay. Also, the morning show listeners, when you have to wake up this early, I think there's, you know, several goals. You want to get up, obviously, but you want to maximize your sleep. And if 5:05, maybe a round number, but 5:07 gets you 2 more minutes of sleep. 2 more minutes of sleep is precious. 5:10, then I would be showing up right about now when the show would have started.
So you literally have it down,
yes,
to like the minute.
Yes.
And you maximize every last minute of sleep that you possibly
can. I think I've done this show with you probably 6 or 7 times now.
Yeah.
And 5:07 is the perfect time. 5:10, I'm a little bit too rushed.
Uh huh.
5:05, I could possibly show up early and have to sit here for 3 minutes.
Chad, you made history. You just made history with me. I don't think I've ever met anybody who set their alarm on an irregular number like that.
I'm all about maximizing sleep.
Wow.
Yes.
Huh. I gotta say, mind blown already. I mean, I
convinced you yesterday in the first 30 minutes of the show.
Does anybody else do that? Does anybody else set their alarm for, you know,
yes.
4:08.
The text line is going to light up.
5:03.
There are those efficiently minded folks who are doing that.
Listen, I'm all about the morning routine. I that's something I absolutely fall back on. And some mornings I'm able to just put it on autopilot and just, I do my routine just
right,
based out of habit. But no, my alarm is always going off at 4. 4:00.
Wow.
Yeah, I get before.
Good for you. Well, I mean, you've been doing this for years.
Yeah, and you never get used to it.
I'm trying to.
You never, ever get used to it.
I'm trying to adjust my schedule on the fly. This is a little difficult.
Never.
Now, in Seattle, when we had a 7:45 team meeting, I think I was 7:18 for me to shower and get to the facility. They had breakfast there. So all I had to do was shower and get to the facility and be in that meeting at 7:45.
And you could do that getting up at 7:18?
7:18.
You got up at 7:18. So you've been doing this for a long time.
I have maximized every minute of sleep as long as I can remember.
Huh. Okay. Now that was playing for
Seattle.
Who's the coach?
Mike Holmgren.
Mike Holmgren. Was he one of those 7:45 you're late or 7:45 you're on time?
All right. Well,
like you
brought it up. This is not an attempt to slam Mike Holmgren, but it was a defensive meeting at 7:45.
Right.
At this time, Mike Holmgren, I think, held every title possible in Seattle. He was head coach. He was general manager. He was the chief executive of football operations for the Seattle Seahawks. We had a 9 o'clock team meeting. And so we would all, after the 7:45 defensive meeting, we would go to the 9 o'clock team meeting, and we're sitting there, and it's 8:59, 9 o'clock. Mike's assistant, every head coach has an assistant guy who keeps time and gets him around the building. Mike's assistant would stand up and look around, and he would poke his head out the door and look for Mike. And eventually he would nod to the assistant head coach, which meant Mike's not in the building.
Uh-oh.
And so the assistant head coach would say, well, if Mike was here, he would say it's Wednesday practice, and we've got to find a way to really hone in on the details today. We need a great practice today. Give us a springboard for the rest of the week.
Uh-huh.
Ready, break. And we would all just leave the meeting just so disappointed. You're Mike Holmgren.
Yeah.
You got 17 titles behind your name. What could possibly be holding you up from the team meeting? This is the first meeting of the day. This is how you set the tone for the entire day for the whole squad. I know we had a 7:45 defensive meeting, but now this is a team meeting, and you are not in the building.
So what? He would just sleep in? Oversleep? What?
I think his wife was going through some health issues, so he would work out with her. And I was like, that's cool and fine. But you guys got to get up like 20 minutes earlier so you can make the team meeting, Mike. This is what you do.
I heard stories about Belichick that he, sent there was a snowstorm.
Oh,
and
man.
And he didn't care about snowstorms. He sent a guy home.
He sent several guys home.
He just tell them, go home.
I've seen him do it many times. You couldn't come to work on time. Therefore, you don't get to work today. And you get to suffer the consequences. I was 30 seconds late. The only time I've been late ever since my second year in Pittsburgh, showing up to the team facility 30 seconds late to a meeting in New England. As soon as the meeting was over, he kind of walked by me and grumbled, oh, you're not going to play in the preseason game tomorrow night.
I'm like, 30 seconds.
30 seconds. You're not going to play in the preseason game. Mike, come on.
No, is that Holmgren or Belichick?
It was Belichick. Belichick. I'm telling you. Come on, 30 seconds late.
I'm really glad you asked that.
Are you kidding me? 30 seconds late? Yeah, man.
Well, now, and what? Coughlin was famous for...
5 minutes early.
5 minutes early. 7:45 meeting meant you're
sitting down at 7:40. So I had Tom Coughlin for two of my three Pro Bowls. And you want to talk about somebody who's going to ruin the Pro Bowl experience? Have Tom Coughlin demanding that you get away from your, you know, beach cabana to be at a meeting at the Pro Bowl early.
Lesson learned from that day in New England? Should have set your alarm a minute earlier.
I actually took a nap, a rare nap, the evening before, and I wanted to talk to my wife before she went to bed, so I set my alarm for whatever it was, 7 p.m., so I could wake up to talk to her. I didn't reset it for 7 a.m.
Oh.
A.m. p.m. A.m. p.m., it got me.
Gotcha.
Ever since that moment, I have always gone with military time.
So, you know what? This has been an eye-opener for me. So, J.D. and Firestone, 5:58, 5 days a week.
There you go.
So ironically enough, another texture. Mine is set for 5:07. Another one. I got your back, Chad. Everything I do, I set my alarm to the minute of what I'm doing. Every minute counts.
Yeah, see?
Woo!
Yes, listeners and texters.
This is good.
I appreciate the backup.
Here you go. Yes, I set my alarm at 5:48. My backup is 5:51.
See? You're the weirdo, Mike.
I guess I am.
I'm with the regular crew over here.
You know?
Odd numbers.
I've always been 6 a.m., 6:15, 6:30, that kind of thing.
No, that's all.
Nice round numbers.
That's antiquated, man. Get with the times.
5:33, says Dale. Huh.
I'm with you, Dale.
Huh. Interesting. Okay, well, I've already learned something. 2 days with you, I've already learned things.
We're going to keep this going.
Yeah, we got to keep this going. I just feel so much more informed. All right, coming up next, Justin Simmons sounds uber confident he's not going anywhere. What exactly does that mean? That's next.
Hey, it's Mike Evans. Sylt Tahar Motors is the home of zero down. Regardless of your credit or financial situation, Sylt Tahar Motors will help you get behind the wheel. People with poor credit or in bankruptcy can qualify for zero down and no payments for 45 days and be driving in their new car within hours of stopping by the dealership. Check out any of the cars Sylt Tahar Motors currently has on site at sthmotors.com. Sylt Tahar Motors is conveniently located at Highway 36 in Wadsworth, so regardless of your financial situation, Sylt Tahar Motors will get you the car you deserve at sthmotors.com.
With Chad Brown sitting in for Stink, Justin Simmons yesterday was on SiriusXM NFL Radio, and boy, does he sound very, very confident and enthusiastic that things will work out between him and the Broncos.
You know, I'm really expecting, out of all the things that I've heard, and I haven't really gotten a chance to talk to you know, George Payton in depth. It was really just, you know, called to let me know how excited he was, you know, for the job, you know, how important culture is going to be moving forward, you know, all that stuff. And then mainly just, you know, just there talking and saying like, you know, just introducing himself. But from everything that, you know, I've heard and that I've been a part of, you know, for the past, it had been 5 years now. You know, it seems like Denver wants me back and I want to be there. I know everyone knows that, you know, at the end of the day, it is a business. It's just a matter of it working out on both sides. And that's just the business aspect of the game.
All right, Chad. So he wants to be here. The Broncos want him here. But there is that, that inconvenient little thing called agreeing on a number.
Yeah.
How many negotiations were you a part of or you saw teammates a part of where clearly person wanted to stay, team wanted you to stay, just couldn't work out on a number, player ended up leaving?
I don't think I've been in a situation where it mirrors what Justin is going through because the Broncos have plenty of cap space. You know, I was part of the Pittsburgh Steelers where, you know, there wasn't a lot of salary cap room. They didn't have a new stadium. They didn't have the cash to give out what other teams did and sign in bonuses and things like that. So it was a little bit of a different situation. So when they let Rod Woodson go, it was just purely a financial thing. Rod wanted to be in Pittsburgh. They wanted Rod there, but they were certain, you know, financial constraints. Heck, the same thing for me. The year before, they had signed Greg Lloyd, an outside linebacker, to a big money deal. Jerome Bettis and I were coming up. Both on our free agent deals, they had to make some choices because there's only so much salary cap space. The Broncos aren't faced with those kind of constraints. They've got a lot of salary cap room. Heck, we just saw a graphic up on ESPN a second ago while we were waiting for the show to start. There's some teams that have, what, negative $69 million in salary cap space. I think that's the New Orleans Saints. Philadelphia Eagles have like negative $49 million. The Broncos are plus 46. They're doing fantastic. So I don't think it's a pure, we don't have the room to make it happen. They're just trying to figure out what the overall salary cap is, and then how do we slot Justin Simmons amongst Kevin Byard, Eddie Jackson, Tyrann Mathieu, Buda Baker? Where do we put him in that? If you franchise tag him again, that puts him at, what, 13-7, basically. Those guys I just mentioned are all over $14 million. So it's not that far apart between where the franchise tag, the mechanism you can use to hold him for one more year, and where the actual top salaries are. You're not millions and millions apart. You're half a million apart. You can get it done.
You're right. You mentioned the salary cap, and that's the thing. We're waiting. It literally could come down any minute, any day, these new TV deals, which are expected to be monster TV deal. There are already monster TV deals, but they're just going to be added to some 70 to 100% increases on all the different packages out there for all the different networks. So it could be as simple as they're just, teams are just waiting to find out what that final cap number is going to be before they can truly charge ahead and make moves like the one with Simmons. But all the conversations Mark has had, we've had him in that chair right there. He says, look, it comes down to this. Justin Simmons is a very good safety for the kind of safety he plays, which is more that sort of free safety type thing. The guys that get paid the big, the 13, 14 plus million are those safeties that come up into the box and really play a different kind of safety. So does Simmons think of himself as one of those safeties that should get paid like a Jamal Adams or a Buda Baker, or does he have to accept the fact that this is the role I play, and therefore this is what I'm sort of pigeonholed into getting paid?
Mike, every player thinks it's the best. It's just how it works. So there's that. I think Justin recognizes there's a difference between him and Tyrann Mathieu and Buda Baker. Those guys are more round the ball. They're more in the box. They're making interceptions versus throws at tight ends. Buda Baker's making tackles for losses. Buda Baker averaged 6 tackles a game. Justin, 4. So, I mean, he's just simply a much more actively involved defensive player. But there's obviously tremendous value to what Justin does, and he can't, should he be punished because of how the team uses him? Mm-hmm. I'm sure in his mind, yeah, I could be just like those guys.
Right.
course I can.
You're holding me back.
You're getting...
Well...
I don't know about holding them back.
Holding them back for being able to max out the kind of contract you can get.
Yeah, there you go. Well, I mean, we've seen in the past where guys have... Jimmy Graham says he's a wide receiver, not a tight end, because the franchise number is bigger for wide receivers than it is for tight ends. When your reality, you're used a certain way versus what your position is called, or guys who are outside linebackers versus defensive ends when it comes to franchise tags. If I'm Justin, you're pretty darn close. I think you can, given a honest look and evaluation of your game, what you're being asked to do versus those guys who are at the very tip top, they play a different game than you do, and they're used differently, and there's a different value to that. But at the same time, you're pretty darn close, man.
Yeah.
You're pretty darn close. Do you have to be the highest paid?
It doesn't strike me as somebody that would
need
to be the highest paid guy.
Even the clip you just showed, I think people who are...
Can you almost hear the humility coming through his voice when he talks?
I was just about to say, people who are in the business of football, a guy like Darrell Revis, maximized the business end of football.
Right.
Like $160 or $70 million in contracts. Didn't care what he said, didn't care whose feelings he hurt, didn't care about the fan base. How much do I get paid? Right. What are you going to give me? Justin Simmons clearly is a nice dude. And is, you know, wants to be here in Denver. And even goes on national radio and talks about how much he wants to be.
Right.
His agent's
got to gave away some negotiating
power,
right? His agent's
like, dude, what are you doing,
right,
man?
Right. Play a little hardball.
Let's play the game,
right,
here.
Right. It's a business. I'm open to hearing other offers. Play that game.
Hey, if the Broncos can't get it done, there's lots of other teams that can use my talents, you know?
Do teams take advantage of that?
Of course they do. Of course. And they
just don't take advantage of that.
I think it's all, I don't think it's just teams. I own a business. The squeaky wheel gets the grease. Sometimes the nicest customers, unfortunately, get the not the nicest treatment. The people with the complainers, the squeaky wheels who call and email, who aren't necessarily the nicest people, they get the nicest treatment because you just want to get them to go away. And I think nice dudes like Justin Simmons can get treated that same kind of way. We don't have to worry about Justin. He wants to be here.
Right.
Justin's a good guy.
Right.
He's not going to badmouth us publicly. You know, he'll take a little bit of a hometown discount. That's what you have an agent for, to remove you from your own niceness.
Right.
You, Justin, be the nicest guy possible, but when your agent shows up in the negotiating room, that dude's got to be a killer for you. You're only going to get two or three chances at this whole negotiating thing. Your entire career. Don't give any money.
Well, he's already played on one franchise tag. He might play on another.
Which would put him at, like I said, 13-7.
What I'm saying is, no matter how nice he sounds, there's still some backbone there. There's still some willing to stand up for himself by the fact that he hasn't got a long-term deal done yet.
That's true. That's true. Or is it his agent?
Whatever.
Right.
But again, maybe that's allowing him to be the good guy,
mm-hmm,
and let the agent be the bad guy.
Ah, the old good cop.
There you go. Morning Brew coming up next. And what exactly is the value of a team meeting? Is it a good sign, or is it a sign of deeper issues, problems? We'll explain next.
Good morning!
Morning!
It's time for your morning brew.
Things are gonna get weird.
You're gonna eat like me, and you're gonna crap thunder!
Okay, this guy needs coffee and cooler stuff.
You know what can really help you sort through these important issues? What?
Orange mocha frappuccino!
Damn, Jimmy, this is some serious gourmet s***.
Let's get it on!
You know, it seems like Denver wants me back, and I want to be there. I know everyone knows that, you know, at the end of the day, it is a business. It's just a matter of it working out on both sides, and that's just the business aspect of the game.
Justin Simmons yesterday appearing on SiriusXM NFL Radio. Okay, he's very optimistic, Chad Brown in for Stink, that the deal will get done. Are you confident that a long-term deal will get done? I mean, there's no doubt he's going to be here this year. But do you think and expect them to get a long-term deal worked out?
I haven't heard any ridiculous demands from Justin Simmons and his camp that they've got to be the highest paid. I think once you're willing to concede, you know, that ego, you know, move, then you're willing to get it done in some way. I think they get close to that $14 million average. Obviously, deal structure matters, guaranteed money matters, but they get close to that $14 million average. I think Justin Simmons and the Broncos are married for a long period of time.
Good, good. And, yeah, I still think it's kind of everyone's waiting to see what the cap number is going to be. But I think as soon as we get that nailed down, I think you'll start to see these kind of deals happen and happen quickly. Next on the Morning Brew.
Well, I didn't love the hit. I mean, you know, Nate turns up the ice. The guy's coming from quite a distance and catches him, you know, high. You know, so obviously I don't like that. But, yeah, I saw him coming off the ice. He was in the hallway. It seems to be doing good. I think that, you know, we get lucky on it. You know, hopefully he's feeling good and everything tomorrow. But as of right now, he seems to be fine.
Whew. Sigh of relief there. There's Jared Bednar. Nathan MacKinnon took a hard hit. An illegal hit. It was penalized up near the head area. Had to leave the game, but indications are that he'll be fine. Avalanche get a 4-0 win after a day in which they held a team meeting. One in which Jared Bednar said there were, quote, some to-the-point, honest, and fair, end quote, questions and discussions. Brendan Saad said that there have been times, quote, when we've kind of taken the night off. When you are holding team meetings, is that a good thing, or is that a sign of some deeper rooted issues that could be serious red flags?
It clearly depends on what the team meeting is about. Are we having a team meeting about effort, about not taking the night off? I think that's a sign of issues. Is it just a reminder meeting, or is it an airing of the grievances? Is it Festivus kind of thing? You know, we need to figure this out here.
Here's how I think you read the quotes. And here's my read, you tell me, as an athlete. Okay, when I hear Brendan Saad say, the biggest thing is just consistency. And then Saad talks about taking a night off. Devontae says, it's tough at times with the expectations with our team. Consistency is something we have to focus on. Bednar saying, I sense we're a hungry group here this morning. Here's my read on it. The Avalanche came in with all kinds of crazy high expectations. Many people, many experts, having him already ticketed to the Stanley Cup Finals, if not winning the Stanley Cup Finals. Is this a team that is burdened by these expectations? I don't think so. I think it's a team that maybe is guilty at times of reading their press clippings.
Then a team meeting is important then, I think, to have some honest discussion. And it wasn't players only. Coaches were involved in this thing. So that, I think, changes the dynamics of it quite a bit.
Are the better ones when there are not coaches involved?
No, I think that's when things are starting to fall apart.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yes, when it's just a players only kind of thing.
Good.
And then, you know, because then there's just so many different opinions. There's no structure to the meeting.
Right.
It's just a bunch of dudes yelling at each other.
Right.
Not much to be gained there. Coaches are involved. We're going to, you know, remove some of the X's and O's of it and just talk about our approach and how we mentally look at games and how do we prepare kind of thing. Obviously, they came out and won the next day. So from that standpoint, the anti-Earl Weaver, it was a good team meeting, not a wasted team meeting.
The legendary late Earl Weaver in Baltimore was once asked about holding a team meeting. He said, why do I want to hold a team meeting? If I hold a team meeting today, then we go out and lose. What do I do tomorrow?
Right, Avs won, so all's well.
All's well. Next on the Morning Brew.
Rams get a steal, came to Roddy, lead pass Moore, ahead of the pack, he'll lay it in.
Mountain West Network, hey, CSU goes out last night, takes care of business, beating up on a bad New Mexico State team. Actually, that was New Mexico. And they remain on pace. If you listen to Joe Lunardi and his bracketology, he has CSU in there, in the tournament.
18-4, I certainly hope so.
Well, you just never know with how the committee is going to view the Mountain West.
Yeah, 18-4, though.
Is that, traditionally, that's kind of been the conference that, you know, really only gets the one bid. And you better win the conference tournament in order to get the automatic bid. But,
you know,
this might be the year where, you know, they get a couple.
Yeah, they're 14-8. I think it's a different conversation. 18-4, that's got to get you in.
Man, I hope so. I mean, how cool would it be to have both? I mean, the Buffs are in. The Buffs are going to be in. Don't worry, your Buffs are in.
Yeah.
But
go, Ted.
To be able to get both CSU and CU in the tournament, that'd be a lot of fun. A lot of fun. Yeah. Ramy's now 17-4 overall after that 87-73 win.
18-4.
I got him 17-4.
I'm looking at ESPN.
All right, I'm sorry. I'm looking at ESPN too. You got 18-4?
Yeah.
I got 17-4. Huh. Okay. Tomato, tomato. All right, next on the Morning Brew.
I think Derek Carr had his best year yet under John Gruden. I think he's one of the top quarterbacks in the NFL, and we couldn't be happier with him. And I tell you every year, I mean, we evaluate every position every year. I have no idea who might call me or who might not call me. But if you're asking me about Derek, I mean, I think John and I would both stand shoulder to shoulder and pound the table for Derek Carr.
Huh, how about that for an endorsement from Mike Mayock, Raiders general manager, talking about Derek Carr? I mean, is that a real vote of confidence, or is that the dreaded vote of confidence that usually accompanies somebody imminent firing or departure?
Well, yeah, read between the lines and check out the words. They would stand on the table for Derek Carr, but he started off that statement talking about somebody called.
Oh, right.
Yeah, I would say Derek Carr is a great player, and you should trade with me for him. He didn't say, John and I would say absolutely no to every single trade possibility. He talked about people calling. And we would say, yes, we love Derek Carr. You can love somebody and trade him. You certainly can.
Okay, but was that an endorsement of Derek Carr? Or was that just simply trying to boost Derek Carr's trade value? Hey, we're interested in Deshaun Watson.
I think they...
Texans?
We really like
Derek Carr.
They really like Derek Carr. They really like Derek Carr, but are willing to do football business. Without a doubt. Simple.
You can do a lot worse than Derek Carr as your quarterback.
This division's got some good quarterbacks. Derek Carr is not a bad quarterback by any means.
Not at all. I have no problem with him here. That's for sure. All right, that'll do it for the Morning Brew. Bring that to you each and every morning at 6:30. James Merrillat, always got a cheery disposition. What's grinding his gears? We'll find out next. So, true story, during this little break we're in just now, Chad looks over me. Chad Brown in for Stink today. Does he got James Merrillat coming up? I said, yep. He goes, man, James, he of the crazy opinions.
Wow.
Good morning, James
Merrillat.
Hey, James,
from how
Denver,
are you?
DenverFan.com on the Johnson Auto Plaza hotline.
I'm good. That's quite the intro. I appreciate it.
He of the crazy opinions. And well, I have to admit, I was a little bit puzzled by what I've read from you on Twitter the last couple of days. Are you actually going about your business defending Dick Monfort?
Slightly. This all stemmed from a column I wrote on Monday on DenverFan.com saying, look, if you're one of these people who thinks Carmelo Anthony is a traitor for wanting to be traded to the Knicks 10 years ago, then you kind of have to look at Nolan Arenado the same way. He bailed on Colorado. He wanted to go where the grass was greener. There are a lot of similarities, and people tend to oversimplify the situations, right? It's, well, Melo wanted out of here because Lala wanted to go to New York to further her career, and Arenado wanted out of here because the Rockies are a dumpster fire and he's tired of losing. It's like, well, that's not exactly true. I mean, Melo questioned the Nuggets' commitment to winning before he was going to sign his next big deal. Well, that's somewhat been proven out. In the 10 years since he left, the Nuggets have been in the bottom half of NBA payrolls 9 out of 10 years. They let the reigning executive of the year leave and go to Toronto, where he went and built a championship team because they didn't want to pay him match the 5-year $15 million deal. Like, well, it's not a commitment to winning. And then the Rockies situation, like, yeah, historically they haven't been very good, but people need to remember Nolan Arenado complained prior to the 2020 season. It was less than a year after signing an 8-year, $260 million deal. The Rockies up until that point went to the playoffs in 17, went to the playoffs in 18, and on June 29th of 19, they were 44-39. Now they fell apart after that. But they went into the 2020 season prior to COVID and all that stuff, or 2019 season, looking at it saying, well, was that an aberration? Or, you know, was the playoff team really what we have? Was it 3 bad months, or are we not a very good team? Nolan wanted none of that. He was complaining, wanted to take his ball and go home. I just think he deserves a little bit of criticism, and he gets free pass, you know, almost into the Teflon mode, and Carmelo gets vilified. I just don't think it's quite fair.
Will you change your tune when... if Trevor Story gets traded?
Well, now I think they go into total rebuild mode. I don't think they would be in the position they are, one, if Nolan hadn't decided prior to last season that, hey, he wanted to be sent out of here. Because then you just go into, all right, well, how are we gonna tear this thing down and build it back up? Because to some extent, it doesn't make sense to sign Trevor Story to a big deal and then not have anybody to surround him with for a while. So I think they got pushed into this mode. The other part of it, and this is just, you know, the reality of it. Nobody wants to hear this, is, you know, and I'm a fan too, and I get it. But the Rockies generate the vast majority of their revenue at the gate, right? It's ticket sales, it's concessions, it's parking, it's all that stuff. Well, they didn't have any of that in 2020. It's going to be limited at least at the beginning of 2021 and probably the majority of the season. They just haven't generated the revenue that they need to. I went through and did the math prior to last season when they were debating, hey, prorated contracts and all this kind of stuff. If they'd have played a full year last year, the Rockies would have lost as much as $60 million. Not lost profit, like loss in the red. And they're just not built to be able to withstand that kind of thing. Dick Montfort doesn't have those kind of deep pockets. So my expectation as a fan when it comes to an owner and a team is they spend every dollar they can. I don't expect them to lose money. I think that's unreasonable. And I believe Dick Montfort, they had the 11th highest payroll in 2019, the last full season. I think he spends every dollar he can. Now, whether they spend it wisely, whole different debate, and Jeff Breidich should be gone, and I'm with people on that front. But I think he spends every dollar he can. If you think Stan Kroenke spends every dollar he can to try and build a winner here in Denver, I just think you're delusional. I don't think that's anywhere near the case.
Okay, wow. All right, well, going to Stan Kroenke and his ownership, the Nuggets, looking at your Twitter here, these are tweets that are just separated by one tweet. How long does Teflon Malone stick with this fourth quarter lineup?
Yeah.
Two tweets later, this was a very impressive win by the Nuggets.
Both
they
were true.
They can play with anyone.
Both were true.
Reconcile those two tweets for me.
It was the Nuggets had like a 19-point lead going into the fourth quarter. It was Jamal Murray and a bunch of guys, right? It kind of looked like the Rockies with Trevor Story and a bunch of guys. The lead gets cut to 13, so then I sent the, you know, Teflon Malone tweet. He calls a timeout. He gets Michael Porter Jr. and Nikola Jokic back in the game, and they're off to the races. So, you know, my Twitter during a game, and Broncos games are really this way, it's a little bit of therapy for me, right? I got to get these thoughts out of my head as it's happening. So, you know, what happens during the game versus when I have a moment to, you know, kind of evaluate it post-game chat, you know, it's a little bit of split personalities here.
Okay. All right. And just for the listener's sake, give me the definition of Teflon Malone and where that thought's coming from.
I think Michael Malone gets a little bit of a free pass. So the Teflon thing is nothing gets thrown their way, nothing sticks to him. And it started with John Elway, when he decided to try and defend a Super Bowl title with a guy who had taken one snap, and that was to take a knee. And you couldn't criticize him because they had won a Super Bowl. So that became Teflon John. So the Teflon thing is basically people in this town who, for whatever reason, seem to escape any blame. And I think Michael Malone falls into that category. I think he's totally mismanaged Michael Porter Jr. This team, if they're going to be a contender, it's going to be when Nikola Jokic, Jamal Murray, and Michael Porter Jr. are all quote-unquote stars at the same time. MPJ is not going to get there sitting on the bench. You kind of got to go through the ups and downs with him, and it's a little bit of a double standard. Jamichael Green can make two boneheaded defensive plays at the end of the game to cost him the win against the Wizards. He doesn't get he doesn't get benched for that the next game. But Michael Porter Jr., man, he makes one mistake and it's, he's getting yanked. And anybody who's played sports, though, that's a very tough way to play. When you think, if I make a mistake, I'm going to be yanked. You end up thinking, you end up playing very passive. And I just don't think it's a good way to manage people and to manage players. I think Michael Malone gets a little bit of a pass and it becomes, well, he doesn't have much to work with and this, that, and the other. He's got an MVP candidate on his team. And this is a team now for three seasons. They've lost so many games to bad basketball teams, right? It's the Kings. It's the Hawks. It's two this year to the Wizards. It's just, and it goes on and on and on. To me, that's to some extent on the head coach of just not having his guys ready to go and convincing him, hey, we can lose any night. We got to be ready. I think some of that blame has to fall on the head coach.
James Marilat running the juggernaut that is DenverFan.com. You can check that out. John Clayton, check him out, writing about Melvin Gordon's deal and how it looks and compares to what free agent running backs will be getting this year. George Karl looking ahead to the second half of the season for the Nuggets. You even have a story on how Denver is a front runner to host the, is it CONCACAF Nations League Finals in June? You're even writing about football.
Oh, hey, we got it all covered. There's not a thing we miss when we're talking CONCACAF. Hey, my ideas don't sound as...
I was wondering if I pronounced that correctly. I guess I did. I guess I got it right.
Yeah, that's a tricky one. Yeah. Don't my ideas, when I verbalize them, seem a little less crazy than just on Twitter?
I don't know.
They hit the ear better than you receive them when you read them online. Yes.
Okay. All right.
I will give you that.
So now, maybe, Chad, not as many crazy opinions now from... He of the crazy opinions.
They only read crazy.
They don't sound crazy. All right, good. All right, James, thank you, pal.
You bet, fellas. Thanks.
James Marilat, DenverFan.com on the Johnson Auto Plaza hotline. Coming up next, the Jets are apparently willing to talk Sam Darnold. Broncos, any interest? Should there be? That's next.
Hey, it's Mike Evans. Siltahar Motors understands sometimes bad things happen to good people. That includes bankruptcy. If that is you, you can still purchase a car at Siltahar with zero money down in almost all cases. This is a program they've been doing for 25 years. The dealership itself is almost 60. Family-owned business that is proud of their reputation and proud to be a huge part of the Broomfield community. If you file bankruptcy, Siltahar Motors can help. Zero down and no payments for 45 days in almost all cases. Contact Team Zero Down at 720-446-9222 or online at sthmotors.com.